Be seated. I had mentioned last week that this week's message would really be a part two to last week. And so just quickly, because obviously some of you weren't able to be here last week or you're visiting this week, let me just very quickly review last week's lesson. Last week, if you remember, I had a lot going on up here. I had an object lesson, and I even went and raided the nursery for some little people. And they all depicted you and I. And as we looked at those little people, we saw that we were all born first into sin. The Bible said we're born in Adam. We're all descendants of Adam. And so we were born into Adam. And so we had a big bowl up here, and there we all were, in sin, in Adam, the way we were born. We're born with a sin nature. We talked about the fact that that may not seem fair, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. And it is true. We're all born with a sin nature. We're all born as descendants of Adam, in likeness of Adam, and that is sinners. When Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ offered us hope, and He offered us truth, and He offered us a way out, an escape. He offered us salvation. And so, as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we moved from being in Adam to being in Christ. And so we kind of dwelled last week on the fact that all those things that were true of Jesus Christ are now imparted upon me. They're now true of me. I am cloaked in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now that seems, again, hard to imagine. As difficult as it is to think about the fact that everyone's born into sin, it is almost of the same equal difficulty to imagine that if we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we're now cloaked in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as God the Father looks down upon us, Him in His holiness, in His virtue, in His sinlessness, looks down upon us sinners, when we've accepted Christ, He sees us cloaked in Jesus Christ, in His righteousness, and we are, as it were, justified, or just as if I had never sinned. And so we're born now, reborn, or as we use the term, born again in Jesus Christ. And so what a blessing that is. Now, Paul, as we looked at last week, often said in his writings, and we looked particularly in Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, different places, Paul talked about how even though he's saved and even though he's a new creature, he had a tendency to sin. We went through that very tongue-tying passage where he said, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. And at the end, it sounds like with an exclamation point, he threw up his hand and said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this, he said. Well, we looked, of course, Jesus Christ is the answer to that problem. So as we come to today's lesson, we want to look at how to walk in the Spirit, or how to walk in newness of life. We ended last week with the all-important emphasis that sin is no longer my master. Paul talked about the fact that sin no longer reigns over us. Sin does not have dominion over us. We have a tendency to fall back into sin. It's our natural habit. We fall back into sin because of temptation. We fall back into sin because we're still living in the flesh. And the lure and the pull of the flesh is very strong. But sin is not our master, and sin does not have dominion over us. And we are now born again, renewed, a new creature in Jesus Christ. And yet, even the Apostle Paul said, I struggle, right? The things I know I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing them. The things I know I'm not supposed to do, I keep doing them. And you could see his frustration as he wrote those letters to the Romans. And so as we come to today, we jump to Galatians chapter 5. Again, another epistle written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia, with this very familiar passage where he talks about walking in the Spirit. And so we use the term walking in the Spirit, or we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit, and we'll stay away from sin if we walk in the Spirit. But what does that mean? How is that practical for us? How do we apply that to our lives? That's my goal today. Number one, if you have your outline, and again, if you're visiting, I include a copy of the outline in the middle of the bulletin there. so you can follow along. Roman numeral 1 on my outline this morning, I need to first understand my identity. This has a lot to do with what we talked about last week, but we need to understand my identity today. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I need to understand now who I am in Christ. Number one, I'm forgiven. We just looked at that. My forgiveness of my sins are gone. I've been imparted with the righteousness of Christ. God said, my sins are moved as far as the east is from the west. They're gone, buried in the deepest sea. My sins are forgiven, and so I stand before God, a forgiven person. He accepted the payment for my sins. He accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so there's been payment for my sins. I need to, by faith, believe that Jesus Christ is the payment for my sins. If I think I can earn my way to heaven, work my way to heaven, be good enough, if I think that somehow there's big scales and my good needs to outweigh my bad, then I am seriously mistaken. And I have rejected what Christ did. Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. Only through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Only through Jesus Christ. And so we are, number one, forgiven. We need to make sure we understand where we're at now. We're in Christ. We are forgiven before God Almighty. Number two, we're accepted. We're accepted. The Bible, we looked a lot at this last week, but the Bible uses the term that we are adopted. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're adopted into the family of God. Praise God for that. That's exciting. We're accepted into His family. We're accepted into a place there with Jesus Christ and with God Almighty. And so we have a new position. We have a new name. A new family. What a blessing that is. Number three there, we are loved. I don't have enough time this morning to adequately cover that point. Dave mentioned in Sunday school, in my Sunday school class this morning, as Dave was teaching, he talked about the fact of the sermons that he and I got to hear down at Lighthouse Baptist earlier this week. And I was just so struck, and there's always something that really jumps off at you, and Dave talked about something in particular that one of the pastors said that really struck him, simple truth that really struck him. And for me, it was when Dr. Joe Arthur talked about the fact that it really, we talk so much about how much I love Jesus, and that pales in comparison with how much He loves me. How much He loves me. You know, we try to measure how much we love Him, or we try to gauge how much we love Him. Well, we are supposed to love Him, but regardless of whether or not I love Him, He still loves me. He loved me before I even knew Him. He died for me while I was yet a sinner. Jesus Christ loves me. He died for me. I am loved by God Almighty. I am loved by Christ. I mean, talk about being accepted. Talk about being embraced. I mean, Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for me and for you. What a blessing that is. And so, just again, to understand my identity. I am forgiven, yes. I'm accepted into His family, yes. I am loved by God Almighty. Wow, what a blessing that is. What a great perspective that is on my standing in Christ. And so the last one there, letter D, kind of encapsulates all that. We are in Christ. We are in Him. We are part of the body of Christ. And so my identity has changed. And so on a daily walk in my Christian life, I think it's very important for you and I to make sure we re-identify ourselves. Right? We re-identify. I mean, just, I think some of it is a mindset first. It's putting our mind in gear. Wait, I am not that anymore. I am saved. I am redeemed. I'm a child of the King. You know, when our position changes, our actions and our attitudes outwardly, I begin to change. I should. 15 years I worked for the paint store. Manager of the paint store. For 15 years, I represented the paint company. For 15 years, I dressed the way they wanted me to dress, you know. I wore the little name tag that they gave me to wear. You know, that identified the company and me, so everybody knew my name and who I worked for, you know. I went on business trips to represent the company. I went out as a salesperson representing the company. I was selling the products of the company. I became identified as part of that company. And now here I am, 8.5 or getting closer to 9 years since I've left the company. And if I go through a grocery store or Walmart or Lowe's or anywhere in Harrisburg, many of my old customers will go, "Hey, you're the guy from Sherwin-Williams." You know, they don't know my name, but they know where I worked. You know, they know who I was and identified me with that company. You know, 8.5 years ago, I became pastor. My identity, work-wise, my identity changed. Right, I became a minister. I became a pastor. Now people in the community or here or there at different meetings will say, "Oh, yeah, you're from that church down in Dillsburg. You know, you're from that church," because they identify me as who I'm identified with. My church, my ministry, my job, the work that God's given me to do. So as a Christian in my daily life, I need to make sure I'm re-identified with Christ. I'm part of the family of God. He saved me. He redeemed me. He loves me. He brought me into the family, and so that should change the way I conduct my life. It should change my thinking as I head out into my day. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I've been redeemed. Good grief, I'm a child of the King. That should change the way I act. It should change the way I think. And so number one, I think we need to understand my identity in Jesus Christ. Number two, we need to learn to abide. John chapter 15. We're going to come back to Galatians chapter 5, but turn over to John chapter 15. Familiar passage as we look at the true vine and this passage dealing with the vine. Let me start in verse number 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now notice verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Verse number 4 I want to focus on this morning. Abiding in Jesus Christ. We use that term a lot in church. We're familiar with it. As soon as I started reading it, you know these verses. You've read these verses. We've preached on these verses. We've taught these verses. Our children know about these verses. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. How do we do that? I mean, Jesus Christ is physically not here, and I know that's a simplistic way to start, but let's get down to the very brass tacks of this. Physically, Jesus Christ isn't here. He ascended back to the throne. We know that he left his spirit with us. Literally, the spirit of Christ remains with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, as we know. And so his spirit is here, and so we're talking about walking in his spirit. Jesus Christ said, "Abide in me." We have to rely on the illustrations and the things that we know. And so I think about my relationship with my wife. If I'm going to have a good relationship with my spouse, then I need to, this is not far-fetched, you understand, I need to abide with her, right? I need to spend some time with her. If I'm never home, then I'm not abiding with her. If I'm home, but always outside working and never talking to her, I am not abiding with her. If I'm not interested in what she's interested in and taking her places that she wants to go and doing things with her that she wants to do, then I am not abiding with my wife. We understand that. So to take those type of illustrations and apply them to my walk with Jesus Christ, if I'm not spending time with him, I'm not abiding. If I'm not interested in what he has to say from his precious book, then I'm not really abiding. If my prayer life consists of me doing all the talking and never interested in what he has to say to me, then I'm not really abiding. If I'm not willing to do the things that he wants to do, the things that interest him, and the things that he wants me to do in my life, then I'm not doing a real good job of abiding. And so abiding is completely relational. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to abide with Him, which means I need to spend time with Him. If I'm not getting into my Bible, listen, this is just where the rubber meets the road. If my Bible stays shut all week, I'm not really abiding. You know? If my prayer life goes days and days without any communication between me and God, I'm not really abiding. If I'm not interested in what God wants me to do and looking to see what God wants me to do, then I'm not really abiding. And so when the pastor gets up on Sunday morning and the pastor says, we need to walk in the Spirit, you go, well, how do I do that all week? You know, I keep falling into sin. How do I walk in the Spirit? Well, abide in Him. Well, I'm not really spending any time with Him. I'm not really spending any time with Jesus during the week. Well, then we're going to have a hard time walking with Him. We're going to have a hard time walking in His Spirit if we're not spending time in His precious Word. It's all relational. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes sacrifice. My marriage between myself and Destiny is based solely upon the amount of effort and work and time we put into that marriage. We have to care about what each other cares about, be concerned about what each other is going through. And so if I love her and I want to take care of her and abide with her and have a good lasting relationship that blossoms and flourishes and grows, it takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of effort. And it takes some sacrifice and time. Thus, my relationship with Christ is as well. I wrote down, I think so often, I heard a pastor say this a couple weeks ago. I jotted it down. I thought it really applies right here. You know what we want in a Christian life? And maybe this is based on our personality a little bit, so this may not be a blanket statement for everyone, but I can relate to this. We would really like a to-do list, you know, a checklist. We would really like if the Bible, if we got to John chapter 15 right here or Galatians chapter 5, and it was an outline. You need to do A, B, C, D, E. You do them, you check them off each day, you got it, you know. It's not like that, is it? Neither is my marriage, right? My marriage is not a checklist, you know. You know, make her coffee, make sure there's gas in her car, you know. Take her out to eat once a week, I'm good. Marriage should be perfect. Well, obviously there's more to it than that, you know. It's not a checklist. It's not a bup, 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 check them off. Because I think I'm this type of guy. I come from a business background. I like to-do list. I like schedules. If you don't think so, ask my board, the church board, because every time pastor shows up at a board meeting, he's got paperwork, charts, outlines, things he's doing that are new programs, stuff. I give them papers, you know, and they're always like, oh, comes faster, stack of papers for us tonight, you know. Because I like to-do lists. I like checklists. I got calendars and workbooks and lists of things. There's a list on my desk right this moment of things I need to start doing Monday morning. List. And so don't we wish sometimes the Christian life was a to-do list, you know? And I think, listen, I think sometimes we take Galatians chapter 5, and you can go back there if you want to. We're going to stay there. We'll leave John now. In Galatians chapter 5. And we look at verses 22 and 23. And sometimes I think we have a tendency to look at verse 22 and 23 and make it a to-do list. Right? Christian life, pastor. How do I walk in the Spirit? Well, the pastor reads verse 22 and 23 and you go, there it is. I got it. I'm good to go. I got my list. Right? I have to do love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Got it. You know, check, check, check. I need to work on this, this, this. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm good to go, pastor. Thank you. Let's pray. I'm out of here. You know? Right? You want your to-do list, you know, so you know what to do. Listen, this is not a to-do list. And John 15 just told us that. Because in John 15, Scripture tells us the branches, right, we do not make the fruit ourselves. The fruit is internal. It's something that happens inside us. My fruit trees, and I have a couple small fruit trees at my house, my fruit trees do not sit there and sweat and grunt and groan trying to produce fruit, you know. If I work harder, I'll break an apple, you know. And obviously they don't do that, right? No, it's a natural occurrence from inside the tree. The tree doesn't have it. In fact, if I take that branch, this is what John 15 is all about, right? If I cut it off of the tree, it's not going to produce any fruit at all. Because the branch cannot produce fruit all by itself. Christ said, I am the vine, ye, that's us, we're the branches. We cannot produce fruit ourselves. The Christian life is not a to-do list. It's not a checklist. We can't go around and say, I need to do, check, 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 I got it. This is the fruit that I'm going to produce, and this is how I'm going to do it. Because if we try and approach the Christian life that way, we will fail. We can't do it. Christ does it through us. Christ does the work. Christ produces the fruit. And I heard years ago, and it changed my perspective on this. Maybe this will help you too. I heard a pastor say years ago, we look so hard at how we're going to produce fruit, what I'm going to do next, how I need to, we evaluate our fruit, looking ahead, looking here, and looking ahead all the time. Like, you know, in the Christian life, we often look back and look, wow, how did I get from there to here? Look where Christ saved me from. Look how much I've grown. How did that happen? Well, because it wasn't me doing it, it was Christ doing it. Because He produces the fruit in my life. Now, He's not producing fruit in my life if I'm not abiding, if I'm not attached to the tree, if I'm not making sure I understand my position. Christ produces the fruit. And He produces the fruit when we're abiding, when we're with Him, when we're walking, when we're listening, when we're studying, when we're reading. Christian life is not a big list of things that I need to do. It's relational. And it's letting Christ do the work in me. Oh, if my ministry as your pastor was dependent on what I did, we'd be a mess. You know that? We'd be a mess. No. It's dependent on what Christ can do through us. And so as people say, oh, how's the ministry going? Or how are things down in Cedar Hill? Praise the Lord. They're going well. The Lord's allowed us to do this. The Lord's allowed us to do that. Things are going okay. And the Lord's allowed it. And guess what? When things start to go a little bad, we can say, well, the Lord sees fit to take us through some trials right now, and we'll grow again later. You know, the Lord's doing the work in our lives. The Lord's doing the work. He's producing the fruit. If I'm trying to produce the fruit, it's going to be nasty fruit. You know that? It's not going to be very good. It's going to be, listen, isn't that why Scripture tells us that someday He's going to take our works and try them by fire, right? The things that I've done in the flesh, the things that I'm like, look at me, look what I accomplished, are going to be burnt up. But the things that Christ did, the things that were done for Him, by Him, well, they remain. That's fruit that remains. Praise the Lord, He produces the fruit. I wrote down, the fruit is produced in us, and it's produced through us, but it's not produced by us, right? We're not producing the fruit. As I'm preaching this, listen to me. I preached the first half of my message, and everybody's like, yeah, that's right, amen. And then I started preaching about how we're not producing the fruit, Christ produces the fruit, and everybody's looking at me like, what? What? No, listen. The Christian life's not a to-do list, folks. The Christian life is letting Christ do in me so that I can stand back someday and go, how did that happen? Where did that come from? If I'm convinced, let's say that I have a problem with my temper. I lose my temper. I fly off the handle. And I know that that's a problem, and I know that that's a sin, and I know that gets me in trouble. It's hurting my relationship with my wife. It's hurting my relationship with my kids. It's hurting my work relationships with those I work with. And so I know it's a problem. I know it's a sin in my life. I know it's me reverting back to my old flesh. here's the sin of my life I need to work with. If I determine in myself that I'm going to stop flying off the handle, that I'm going to stop losing my temper, I will fail. But if every day, and I'm getting ahead of my notes here, so bear with me, but if every day I surrender that to the Lord and say, Lord, I have no control over my temper, evidently. I'm messing up. Lord, you have got to do this in my life. Help me to sacrifice my own will. Help me to sacrifice my attitude. If I get up every day and abide by getting into the Word and praying and evaluating where I am, then the next thing you know, I look back at the last 3 weeks and say, I haven't lost my temper. Why is that? Because I work so hard? No, because I surrender to Jesus Christ and He changed me. He's producing fruit in my life. He's doing the good work in me. It's Christ that does the work. It's walking in the Spirit. And so often I think we don't notice it until we look back a little bit and say, wow, that's funny. I didn't realize I hadn't even fallen into that sin. I didn't even realize I hadn't gone near that, because it took daily surrender. It took abiding in Him, and Jesus Christ produces the fruit in our lives. He's the one. Who saved us? Christ saved us. What did I do to get salvation? I didn't do anything. Who produces fruit in us? Christ. What do I do to produce fruit? Nothing. It's the same thing. By faith, I abide. By faith, I make sure my relationship is good. If I don't have a relationship, then Christ isn't doing the work. But so often, I'm striving to produce fruit. I'm striving to do something good. I'm striving to do it. Christ said, it's not you. It's the Spirit that worketh in you. That's walking in the Spirit. So the results are internal. It's abiding in Him and letting Him bear fruit in our lives. Number five, then. How do I get to that? How do I walk in the Spirit? I just gave some quick steps here that I thought were important that we understand. Again, we like a to-do list. Here's our to-do list, so to speak. Again, Christ does all the work. Christ is the one that produces fruit. I need to daily surrender. Daily surrender. Daily put into perspective all those things on Roman numeral number one. Every day I need to understand my new identity. I'm a child of the King. I've been forgiven. Christ loves me. Sin is not my master. I know where I came from and I know who I am now. And as a child of the King and an ambassador for Christ today, I need to represent Christ the way that I'm supposed to represent Christ. So daily surrender. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm surrendering that the flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, Paul said. The flesh is weak. And so the flesh is going to drop the ball. The flesh is going to mess up. And so, Lord, daily help me. This is not a prayer we can pray once and coast through the rest of the Christian life. It's daily surrender to my personal ambitions, my flesh, my attitudes, my will and my desires. Daily surrender. Letter B, then, is growing in my relationship. So I'm surrendering to my own will, but I'm growing in my relationship with Him. Growing in my relationship is what we talked about earlier that takes time and effort and sacrifice and work. It's putting into my relationship with Christ. Again, just to reiterate, putting into my relationship is not trying to produce fruit. Christ will produce the fruit. I'm supposed to have work on my relationship. Spend time. Abide, Christ said. Your job, Christ said, abide. My job is to produce fruit in you. And so abide in me. If you're abiding in Him, then we are spending time with Him. We're growing together. Abiding in Him is going to take time reading our Bibles and praying like we talked about. It's going to take time in church, growing, learning, expanding, going to those special services, going to those ministry opportunities where we can get more involved in ministry, more involved in helping others and teaching others, in leading others and working with others in service. Well, those are opportunities for us to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I grow in my relationship, then I stand amazed at what He did in my life. Letter C goes with that. I need to feed the Spirit. What are we feeding? The contrast of that is, if we're not feeding the Spirit, then we're feeding the flesh. And we struggle in our Christian life, and we struggle walking in the Spirit because we feed the flesh. We feed that. So there we are. We, like Paul, and I say that very carefully, because we are not like Paul. All right, but we understand that Paul very carefully said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those I do. And we feel like that sometimes, and yet, on top of that, we spend all week feeding the flesh. Right? We're not, instead of spending time in Scripture, we're spending time feeding the old flesh nature. Watching things we shouldn't watch, reading things we shouldn't read, listening to things we shouldn't be listening to. Hanging around the folks we shouldn't be hanging around. We're feeding the flesh and feeding the flesh, and then we wonder why we have problems with sin in our life. Well, we fed them all week. Right? We fed that old fleshly nature, that which we want to do, and then we wonder why the lure of sin sucks us back in. We need to feed the Spirit. And we understand that it's not me doing it, it's Christ. And I had already gotten to that. The reminder then, of course, is that sin is not my master. And so as we talk about walking in the Spirit, as we talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit, John 15 has so much to do with that. Abiding in Him. Staying close to Him. Letting Him produce the fruit in my life. Now, with that in mind, back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, think about that. This is the same Paul that said, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do, those I do. And here's an answer. If you walk in the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Today's message was kind of, I tried to be as practical as possible as we talk about what it meant to walk in the Spirit, or how to walk in the Spirit, what it meant to abide in Him, allowing His Spirit to work through us. And if we do that, then we begin to have victories in those things that we keep doing, that we know we shouldn't be doing, that keep luring us back in, we keep falling into that, and we know we shouldn't, and we don't want to. How do I get victory? Well, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He ended that in verse 25, which was the last verse that we read in our text. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. That whole list there, verse 22, 23, those are things that naturally begin to come out of our lives. And I think all of us can look at that list and say that there's things on there that are being produced in our lives, and there's probably some things in there that are not being produced in our lives. But we are all quick to point out, and I think it's very important that we do, that Scripture tells us in verse 22 that these are not the fruits of the Spirit, but rather the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And so if we abide in Him and He's producing fruit in our lives, it should begin to include all of these different aspects of the fruit. The fruit should start to produce love and joy and peace and long-suffering and so forth. Those things should be automatic. It's not a pick and choose, right? We can't say, well, I'm a Christian, the Lord's working in my life, He's given me some of the fruits of the Spirit, but not other fruits of the Spirit. No, it's not optional. Right? As Christ begins to work in my life and produce fruit, all of these things should begin to show. Some of us may be weaker and stronger in some of these than others, no doubt. Our personality sometimes dictates that. Praise God, we're all different. Right? We all have our strengths and weaknesses. That's good. But all of these should begin to show forth. I say that because we have a tendency, even in our Christian life, to look and say, oh, that meekness thing? Yeah, that's not me. Sorry. Not me. It's not optional, right? It's not optional. It's not, again, it's not a buffet. We don't pick and choose. Meekness is something that is like Christ. And since we are to be changed into the image of Christ, we should be meek like Christ is meek. I love meekness. I mean, I love to talk about that and preach about that. You know, meekness is not weakness. Our culture today has made meek out to be weak, right? Someone that's meek is shy or bashful. The Bible tells us Jesus was meek. My Jesus was not weak. Jesus walked into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday knowing full well that he was going to go to his death, a gruesome death upon a hard and brutal cross. And people were going to nail him to that cross that he loved and cared for, and they spit on him and blasphemed him. Jesus walked into Jerusalem not weak. He walked in meek. His strength and his power was under control. That's meekness, folks. Strength and power and might under control. As Christians, we are not called to be weak. The Bible says we're called to be meek. Strong in our faith and strong in what we believe and strong in what we stand for, but under control and under reins, so that we can stand when we need to stand and stay silent when we need to stay silent. Christ stood silent when he was being accused. Christ was never silent when dealing with a sinner and someone needed the Savior. But he was silent when the accusations were just directed against him. We need to learn meekness. I just picked out one of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, because I think meekness is so often misunderstood. I think we still have a culture today that looks down on meekness there in that list right there, right? They look at meekness and like, ugh. You know, guys are like, that's not me. I'm outspoken. That's just who I am. God made me that way. I just speak my mind. Well, wait. Strength under control. We're supposed to learn self-control. That's one of the other aspects there of the fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to control our strength and our might and the things that God gave us. Christ was strong under control. Listen, as we talk about walking in the Spirit, perhaps you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as Savior. If you've never accepted Him as Savior, that's where we need to start. We can't walk in the Spirit until we are in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have today. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the lesson that we had this morning on walking in the Spirit. Lord, I do pray if there is someone here that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray today is their day of salvation.